Good morning. My name is Shelley Guo, and I am a software development lead in the Windows Services Division. I'm really excited to be here today because I get the opportunity to introduce you a very powerful tool you can use in building your applications and website that provides the best and personalized experiences for your users. We are here to talk about powering your apps with Microsoft accounts. Forgot my clicker today. So in the next 45 minutes, I'm going to mainly cover three main topics, one why and two hows. First, why? Why do you want to use Microsoft Account Service? What benefits does it give you by integrating with Microsoft Account Service? What type of interesting scenarios can you enable after doing so? Two, how do you integrate Microsoft accounts into your app? This is specifically about implementing Windows 8 apps that ships through the Windows Store. Third, I also want to talk about if you already have a website that has an identity system, how do you connect your user's identity on your website to his Microsoft account so that you can provide a more integrated experience for these users? We have a lot to cover today, so during the presentation, if you have any questions, please hold it off. We'll have 15 minutes QA at the end where we will cover all questions. With that said, let's get started. We all know from our early age that many things in life don't work in this one-size-fits-all model. My two-year-old son loves to wear his daddy's shoes. You know, as much fun as he has putting his tiny feet in these little boots that are daddy's shoes, he soon learns that it doesn't suit his needs. Because when he takes a step, he trips and gets a big ouch on his head. Same philosophy applies to application development. A real estate website that shows me a house for sale in Alabama is of no interest to me. On the other hand, a parenting website that has pictures of my kids that gives me specific advice based on my based on the ages of my kids, it feels very personal and very useful to me. Research shows personalization increases user satisfaction. It increases engagement and loyalty. Ultimately, it opens doors for higher financial return through a more consistent user base and more targeted advertising. On the other hand, users don't like to sign up. How many of you turn away from a website when the first thing you see is a lengthy sign-up form? I do, for sure. I don't want to have yet another set of username and password I need to manage. I have 50 of them already that I write on a piece of paper I tuck under my bed and keep them safe. Well, not really. I put them in a Word document that I encrypted and put it on my SkyDrive. However, a piece of paper at the bottom of the drawer is exactly what my dad uses to manage his passwords. And the last time he lost his wireless password, it took him six months to call Verizon and have it reset. At the meantime, many things didn't work in the house. So that's the question we developers need to ask when we are designing applications. How can I implement personalization without risking turning my user away with sign-up requirements? Well, with Windows 8, and its integration with Microsoft Account Service, the answer is straightforward. your user can sign in to his Windows PC once with his Microsoft account, and he can get personalized experience for all the apps and websites that implement this technology we call single sign-on. So how does single sign-on work? First, user signs into his PC with his Microsoft account. Now, when the user launches the app, your application can ask the OS for two tokens. One, an authentication token, and second, an access token. The authentication token can be used to verify the identity of the current user. And the access token can be used to retrieve users' information and user data stored in Windows services. Later in my demo, I will get into details how exactly you can retrieve and use these tokens. Here, I want to go through the scenario first. Now, on the website, the same mechanism works. In Windows 8, Internet Explorer is tightly integrated with OS so that it can pick up user credential and set login cookies for Microsoft account service. That means when the user comes to any of the Microsoft websites, they are automatically signed in. User launches Outlook.com, SkyDrive.com, all their data is there, their email is already there. As a third-party website, you can do the same. You can provide the same automatic signing experience if you implement SSO. We will get more detail later when we look at how you actually do that. So what are the benefits? What are the benefits if you integrate with the Microsoft Account Service? Obviously, you provide seamless sign-in for all your users. Now they don't have to remember 50 different username and password. They don't even have to type in their username and password because they already did when they sign in into the OS. The user can get personalized content immediately. They can store their shopping cart content. They can store their favorite recipes. They get truly customized experiences. Second, you don't have to build your own identity system. How many of you have already have an identity system that you built? Quite a few. How was the experience? Was it easy? We can spend hours talking about the challenges and risks of building a secure authentication system. But now I don't have to, because we've built it, so you don't have to. We've lifted that burden from your shoulders so that you can focus on building your business logic and your customer experience. Now, the third benefit is also very interesting. If you already have an identity system on your website, you still get significant benefit by integrating with Microsoft Account. For example, now you can bootstrap sign up. You can get user information on sign up from Microsoft services. The information that user already gave to Microsoft, things like their name, their email, their address, their phone number. Anything that makes the sign up easy is thumbs up for the user and for you as a business. The next one is a very interesting scenario. Imagine you have an app that you shipped and user is using it, but he has not signed up on your website for an account on your website. You can already start tracking the user's behavior right now, even before he signs up an account on your website. That's very powerful, because when the user signs up one day and decided it's a great service, he wants to sign up, you already have all the past information about this user. You know what pages he's interested in, you know what favorites he has, And you can immediately personalize the experience for these kind of users. Next, I also want to talk a little bit about the kind of scenarios you can enable after you implement single sign-on. There are mainly two categories of experiences. The first one is about building continuous client experiences using Windows roaming settings functionality. Windows roaming settings lets applications to store data that gets roamed across all users' Windows 8 PCs, so that you can provide a continuous experience regardless which device the user is on. For example, user can continue to watch a movie where he left off on one. User can continue watch a movie on one device from where he left off on another device. If you have a finance app, you can keep track of the stocks users added to his profile. If you have a document viewer, you can always access the most recently opened documents, regardless which device the user is currently working on. The second category of scenarios involve accessing users' data that are stored in Windows services. These include user SkyDrive, includes users' profile information, as well as their contacts and friends. For example, if you have an e-reader, you can open the file from user SkyDrive. If you are building a social app, you can get users' Outlook contacts and friends. You can also store application data on user SkyDrive and access it from other platforms such as Windows Phone and Xbox. All these scenarios are made possible once you implement single sign-on. So hopefully I get all of you interested and understood the scenario. And now you ask me, how do I do it? The tool I want to introduce today is called Live SDK. Live SDK provides APIs that help apps and websites to easily integrate with Microsoft Account Service, as well as accessing data that are stored in Windows services. There are mainly two parts of Live SDK, one on the server side and one on the client side. On the server side, we provide a set of REST APIs, a set of protocol that allow any type of clients to interact with our services. Mainly, there are two protocols. One is the standard OAuth 2.0 protocol for authentication. And we also have a REST API that allow clients to access user data. On the client side, we provide a set of SDKs that make it much easier to interact with these services. Now, the client SDKs are purely optional. You don't really need to have it to implement your app, but it makes it much easier. It abstracts away a lot of the protocol intricacies out of your application. We support the SDKs in many different platforms. We support them on Windows 8. We support them on Windows Phone. We support them on .NET, as well as other mobile platforms. So I want to spend, because this is a developer conference, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about code. This is the sample code you would use if you want to integrate a Microsoft account into your app. On your app initialize, you see there is a class called LiveAuthClient. This is a class basically abstracts all the authentication flows from your app. There's a method called initializeAsync, and the parameter you pass in is a list of scopes. A scope is a name that identifies a set of permissions you want to ask the user for access to. So this is standard OAuth protocol. When a third-party application wants to access some data, it asks the user, are you okay with me as an app to access your data? And the user says yes. At that point, your app gets a delegation token you can use to talk to any services that accept that token. So here you can see all this dance around the protocol gets abstracted away in this initialize async method. Once the method finishes, you can check whether or not the user is connected. If the user is connected, go ahead and create this class called LiveAuthClient and pass in the session object. The session object contains all the information you need in order to access services. LiveConnect client provides the abstraction that talks to our REST API service. The REST API service returns information on users' data stored in Windows services, including profile, SkyDrive, contacts, etc. The protocol is very simple. You give it a path, it does its magic, returns some data in JSON format. The client library interprets the JSON, make it into a dictionary object, return back to you so that as an app, you can access easily via a key and key value pair. So like I said, we provide client SDKs on many different platforms, including JavaScript. And this is a code snippet for if you are building JavaScript application on Windows 8, you can use our SDK to do exactly the same thing. The interface is very simple. There's a login. There's an init method where you initialize the library. There's a login method where you pass in the list of scopes. And then when the login method finishes, you can check the user's auth status. For getting user data, there is one single API call. API is actually the name of the method. So there's one single API call where you pass in the path you want to use, and then it will just return the JSON that comes back from the server. So I want to show you an app that actually does this. And that's my first demo. So imagine I have this awesome recipe app, that awesome recipe website where I can allow user to browse recipes and even add favorites, create recipe box and things like that. For simplicity, my website today is just going to display pictures. So I've got this yummy.com website. You can see it's pretty standard website that displays some pictures about some yummy food. And now I decide I need to ship a Windows 8 app that kind of is a companion for my website. So I have this project already set up. I'm just going to show you the relevant code from here. Pretty straightforward, the code that's already on the screen, pretty straightforward. Load pictures, fill up the grid on the app, get some data. This particular method, get pictures, is a method I have. This is an app where I extracted out my data layer from the main page code. You can see I have a method called data provider get pictures. And inside here, it does pretty simple thing. It basically makes a call to my web service, yummy.com, and say, give me all the pictures. And when it's come back, I just decide I'm just gonna put it into a JSON text body, the URLs that points to each pictures. So that's how the app is going to load the pictures. When I come back, obviously the app makes a call to my website and display some pictures. No magic here. What I want to do, however, is to show personalization. Look at, I have a sign-in link at the right corner of my app. I want to be able to, when I click on the sign-in link, show up consent, ask the user, are you okay with this app accessing your data? And I want to show you how you would add code for that scenario. So a couple things I need to set up. One is I define a variable called scopes, and that includes the list of scopes I want to ask the user permission for. And I have a variable that stores this live auth client instance. Under here, you can see it's pretty much the same code that I had on my earlier slide, where you say this dot auth client, create a new live auth client class, call initialize async. If it's connected, go ahead and get the user profile. Now, if the user is not connected, this is where that sign-in link, the onclick event, gets hooked up into my sign-in link. And when the user calls that link, it's going to call this dot auth client dot login async. The difference between initialize and login is that initialize is a silent call. It will not display any UI, versus login is a call that would display UI for user consent. And once user is connected, this is the code to get user's profile information as well as the profile picture. You can see here for the profile picture, I'm actually using a shortcut today. I'm just creating a URL that points to where that profile picture lives on the server. Here you can see the parameter that gets passed in is this live connect session object. In this session object, there are a few things that are interesting. Access token, authentication token, expires, refresh token, and scopes. Today we will talk about, we will not talk about all of them because we are focused on our Windows 8 scenario. In this particular demo, that's interesting is this access token. Because what I wanted to do with this app is to be able to access users' profiles stored in Windows services, and I need the access token in order to access that data. So when that call comes back, you can see a JSON object is returned to your app, and you can use the dynamic keyword in .NET in order to access data in a dictionary without using this quote key syntax. You can just directly do dot, and that will give you the value for that key value. So let's see how this works when I'm running this. Now, obviously, when I first run this, the user has not granted me consent to access his data, so I'm not able to show my profile pictures. If I click sign in, this is the UI that the system provides. It asks the user, are you okay with this app access your data stored in Windows services? Here, I'm specifically asking two scopes, a signing scope and a basic scope. If I say yes, what you see is on the right corner, my information shows up. And that's because now my app is able to get this access token and use this token to access my profile information stored in Windows services. So that's interesting. I added personalization to my app. But what's going to be more powerful for you as a business is be able to tie that into whatever personalization mechanism you have on your website. Notice that this user is just using a Windows 8 app. He has not come to your website or signed up for an account or anything. Next, I want to show you how you can start tracking this user without him signing up on an account on your website. So this mechanism is a little bit complicated, so I want to kind of go through it first before I jump into the code. So how do you integrate Microsoft accounts with your existing identity system? You have three components here: an app, your website, and Microsoft services. The user signs into your app using his Microsoft account. There's interaction between the app and the OS with Microsoft services to be able to retrieve user credential and sign user in. As I said earlier, at this point, your app can obtain a token called authentication token. This is a token that can uniquely identify who the current user is. It's a token your app and your website can use to verify the identity of the current user. However, this token is not, your application on the client cannot open this token and get the user ID, because this token is encrypted with a secret that only your website has. So in order to crack this token open, you need to send this token to your website, where your website can implement logic to crack this token, to crack open this token and get the user ID. Now the secret you use to crack this token open is the application secret you obtain when you register an app with Microsoft, with our developer portal. And this secret should only be kept on your server. It should never be stored on the client, because it's a secret for your app. If you distribute that to client devices, it's at high risk of you losing your secret or get it compromised. So never store application secret on your client. Now your app has this user ID. You can use it as a key into whatever system you use to persist user personalized data. You can use it as an identifier into your database, along with any information you are collecting on your client for this particular user. Now, at this point, your server doesn't know who this user is yet. There is no personally identifiable information in this authentication token. The only thing in this token is an ID. So on your server, you just know there is one person that did all these things, and you can say this person did all these things, but you don't know who this person is yet. If you want to sign this person up on your website, this is the last step you can implement. This is optional as well. You can implement to bootstrap your sign-up process, as well as tie this user's data that you already stored to an account that you have on the website for him. So this slide talks a little bit about the authentication token, because this is the key piece that ties this scenario together. So I want everybody to understand what this token is and how you use it. The authentication token is a token generated using the standard JSON web token protocol. It can be used to verify the identity of the user. Sometime you will see it as referred as a JWT token, a JWT token. They are exactly the same, two different names. Here I'm just using authentication token because that's what our documentation has been using. How is it used on your server? You can open this token, get the user ID, and use it as an identifier for a particular user. So there's a set of steps you actually need to do in order to crack this token up. And as an SDK provider, we actually provided a SDK on your server you can use to make all this easier for you. This is a, if you include our SDK on the server, there is one single method you can use and get the user ID out of this auth token. Get user ID, pass in the authentication token, it'll give you back the user ID. The last step is how you actually retrieve user information on your server. This ties into this live SDK on the server, which is a new piece we added to our client SDK arsenal that you can use to integrate with Microsoft account service as well as Windows services very easily. And you can see a very similar steps you take on the server, very similar steps you take on the server as you took on the client, with a few differences that I will get into later in my demo. So next is the demo that I want to show you how to implement this scenario in Visual Studio. So one thing I want to show you here is the application registration experience. Before you can actually run an app that integrates with Microsoft account, you need to register your app through the Windows Developer Portal. Here I've already registered this app, but I want to show you how easy it is because it's actually integrated into the Visual Studio experience. So in order to register my Windows 8 app, I go to Project, Store. Of course, let me shut down the app first. I go to Project, Store, Create App Packages. I give it my Microsoft account. In this experience, you can see Visual Studio has integrated with the Windows App Store that lets you to choose a list of apps you have in the store that you can associate this project to. In here, I'm just choosing, I've already chose this Yummy app, so I will, but if you just go through this process, it should create an app manifest file for you and associate your app with the one that's provisioned on Windows Store. The reason I show you that registration process is because there is a step you need to do. In order to set your app up for using authentication token. This is because, like I said earlier, an authentication token is not interesting on the client. It can only be open on your server. That's why you need to register your server with this app, where your server is with this app, before you can use that. The way that you do that is you go to your dev portal on Windows Store, Here is the Yummy app I was building. Click on Edit. And hopefully it will. Look like my network connection is not working. Now I think it's up. So click on Edit on this Yummy app. And here there's a link to Advanced Features. Click on Advanced Features. Click on the Push Notification and Live Connect Services Info. And represent your app. So on this page, it basically stores the information about your application. And this redirect URI field is the one that I wanted to show you. This is where you specify, this is my website that's associated with this Windows 8 app I'm working on. Basically, this is the URL that when you go through the OAuth authentication flow, the token will be returned to this URL. And that's how your website will understand how to log your user in. So once you set this up, go back to the app. Earlier, I've showed you how to create a Live Auth Client class. Here, I'm just going to add this redirect URL for this app. Now you can see this redirect URL I've already identified as my website home login. Now when I run this app again, and I want to be able to store my favorites. So let's say I click on two of these images and say add to favorites. Now my favorites shows up. Now this is not information I stored in my client to trick this app. The favorites, the list of pictures I clicked, the URL gets sent to my Yummy web server along with user's authentication token. My Yummy web server opens the token, puts the user ID into some kind of storage and say this user ID is associated with these two URLs. And then my app makes another call to the server and say, give me the list of favorites for this authentication token. And then my server opens the token up, find the user ID again, gives back the URLs that was previously saved for this user. So going back to my website code, this is how the favorites scenario is implemented. The client app sends the authentication token via a query string. This is just how I choose to implement this app. You can decide how you want to send that token up to your server, as well as the list of URLs that the client has checked on. And then I do some parsing and store I do some parsing and store the user ID along with the URL. Here I'm just choosing to store them in an in-memory cache. But in reality, you probably store them in a database or some kind of persistent cache. Now when the client calls get me the favorites for this user, I do a very similar logic. I get the authentication token through the query string. I call get user ID, I get the user ID, look into my cache, and say, okay, these are the two things for this user, return it. And that's how the experience on the client is implemented. Now to show you now, if I go back to my yummy.com website, you can see that I don't have any favorites here. Why? Because my website doesn't know who I am yet. I have not signed up on my website. The only thing the website knows is there's some user ID that has favorited two pictures. So how do you make your website aware who this user is? Next, I want to show you how to implement the registration process. Say the user decides it's a great Yummy app, I want to sign up and get a better experience. So the user comes to your website, there's a register button that they click on. What happened? When I load the register page, this page says, oh, I want to sign this user up. Let me see if I can get some information from users Microsoft, from users' data stored in Microsoft and bootstrap my sign-up process. So it asks, can I ask you for your email address? Can I access your phone numbers? Now the user says yes. See the sign-up form? It's already filled out with my name, my email, and my phone number. These are data that's stored in my profile, in my Microsoft account profile. Now the user goes through the sign-up process. Bam! Comes back to my home page. It knows who I am, has my profile picture. It also knows what my favorites are because I've did something in the app previously. That's the powerful experience you can provide. That's the business value of this whole scenario. You know what your user are doing even before they sign up. So how is this code written? You can see this is my register page. Basically, on this page, I have several things that are in addition to what I had on the client. Is I had this app ID, I have an app secret, and I have scopes and redirect URL. Now, when I initialize my live auth client class, I pass in three things: my application ID, my application ID, my application secret, and the redirect URL. And then I call initialize web session async. This does a bunch of magic, go through the authentication dance, and comes back with a status whether or not the user is signed in. A similar flow as I showed you earlier, you can go ahead and retrieve user information if they are connected. If they are not, what you can do is call auth client.getLoginURL, and this will give you a URL you can redirect the user to for the user to ask consent for this app. Here what happens is I redirect the user to the Microsoft account website where they will provide their consent, and once they do, the Microsoft account service will redirect back to your website to the URL you had provided earlier as the redirect URL. At that point, you can get tokens for this user. Now, just to prove that This is working in action. Let's see. Add one more. Shows up here. Come to my website. Refresh. There. So that concludes my demo today. We are pretty much on time, 45 minutes. The key takeaways I want you to walk out of this room for are three things. One is you can use Live SDK to implement single sign-on in your Windows 8 app. Second is you can connect a user's Microsoft account to his account on your own website using this authentication token. It's a bridge between these two systems. And the third is you can also use Live SDK on your website to directly retrieve information for this user and implement things like sign up process. So there are one related sessions that I would encourage all of you to go. It's the developer's guide to the SkyDrive API. It also uses Live SDK, but it will dive deep into exactly how you work with files and folders that's stored on user SkyDrive. I think it's tomorrow. I hope all of you can make it. Resources, these are if you need more information about how to implement all the scenarios we talked about today. You can go to our live developer portal, dev.live.com, has all our documentation, our sample, has links to all documentation samples and source code. We have interactive SDK. This is kind of like an API playground where you can go and try out different APIs we offer and see what results they return. This is very handy because you don't have to register your own app. You just sign in and you can see what your own data looks like. We also have GitHub location where we publish a lot of our source code and samples. Go out and check it out. It's going to help you a lot in building your app. So we have about 10 minutes left, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Excuse me? The question is, how do you provide user to have a place where they can remove all their consent? Is that the question? We have an experience on the web where the user can see the list of apps they consented to, as well as the permissions they've already given to each of the apps. And also, the user can check on which app they want to revoke, click a button, all your permission is gone.
Multiple Windows Live IDs. They might have had a work one and a home one. Is that going to cause problems going forward? Do the apps have a mechanism that you could switch between two accounts?
I think that's depending on how you implement your app. The question is, how does app work with multiple Windows Live accounts?
Or Microsoft accounts.
Yes, Microsoft account is previously called Windows Live, and many people may have more than one. They are treated as different users, basically. Each Microsoft account is one single user. If your app needs to work with multiple accounts, it's just like you're working with multiple users.
Well, like most apps like SkyDrive assume that as soon as you click on it, you want to go there with the one you came onto your machine with.
That's correct. So the one that you use to sign into your PC is the default one. If you want to sign out, there's always a sign out button on the website, as well as the Microsoft account. The OAuth logging endpoint I talked about also has a sign out logout URL where your app can call and it will log the user out. It will log the current user out.
Thank you.
Yes.
So any of the APIs you're using for single sign-on, is there any crossover with those live APIs and a user who might be authenticated against a domain controller? Like, so if I have a domain join machine, can I use the same APIs to get full information out of AD? To have single sign-on for both domain join machines and Windows Live users?
The question is, can you use this mechanism we talked today to work with domain joined accounts? The answer is no and yes. No is this mechanism does not directly talk to Active Directory. However, if the user is logged into his PC and has connected his domain account with his Live ID or with his Microsoft account, yes, this mechanism still works.
Is there any role-based mechanism inside of your authentication provider?
I think the answer is no, because Microsoft account is an internet-based authentication service. It does not have the Active Directory role or group, like a group account. Right. No. Back there. The question is, how do you can you sign in using this service, and the token you get from signing through this mechanism work with other services? If the services implement the same authentication system with the Microsoft service, yes, you can. Right. So the answer is no. The short answer is no. Facebook Connect is a very similar system to this, but they are two distinct systems and they don't interact with each other. No, we don't federate with Facebook right now.
Is there a plan?
That I don't know.
So can my app simply say, well, you wouldn't sign in with the Microsoft account on the machine, can I just use that one and transmit that?
The question is, can I use the account that's already signed in? The answer is yes, and this whole session is about that, is when the user actually signed into the PC using his account, your app can pick that up right away. And if you want to sign up, if you want to sign in with a different account, then you sign this user out and log in with a different account.
The problem that I've had with that second scenario of trying to log out and log back into another account is, particularly I extend it in Windows 8, when it goes to log in with that other account, it just automatically picks up the Windows logged in account and it won't even give me the option to log in as a different user. So the only way that I can get around that at this point is use your competitor's products, Chrome, or go into any private settings in Internet Explorer.
In my experience, we should probably take a look at your exact scenario. In my experience, I can sign out within Internet Explorer, and it'll ask me to sign in again without pre-populating my signing information. But if you have a problem, we can take a look after the session and see what exactly is happening. So the question is, are there any OAuth authentication flow that are implemented? I did not get into details of how OAuth work in this session, but if you're interested, we can talk about it. However, there are at least two different flows that are involved in today's presentation. One is the client-side token flow, where there is no website involved. Everything goes through your client. And the other one is the website authentication flow, where the user agent, the user goes to Microsoft account for signing, and the there is a code that gets generated that gets passed back to your website, and then you need to your website implements some logic in order to retrieve the actual token. That's the web flow in OAuth that is used in today's demo, but I didn't talk specifically how that works. But yes. Right now is yes. Right now there's a client flow and there's a web flow. Any other questions?
Yeah, not sure if this is out of scope for what you were talking about or not, but when you talk, you mentioned briefly persisting like application preferences and settings using the live ID. How does that work? If you want to be able to share preferences or data between two live accounts?
If you want to, the question is how can you implement the sharing between two live accounts? Today we don't have that intrinsic support, but I think you can implement that in your system, where you can say, maybe when the user sign up, you have an option for the user say, this other account is mine as well. Then you can link them together. However, that's not something that we provide out of box. You would have to do it on your own system.
I've got a folder in SkyDrive that I want. You know, here's where I've stored my settings for this app. This folder is in SkyDrive, and I choose to share this folder with another user. So now they have that. You know, both users have access to the same sets of preferences, maybe.
In that case, you would have to, because today we'll talk about this tomorrow at the SkyDrive API a little bit more. But the short is, right now we don't support sharing. Okay. But there's a ways you can do it, but.
Does the live ID pertain to your app getting a unique ID for that?
Oh, so the question is that ID I talked about, is it the same across all your apps on different devices? The answer is yes. The user ID is per app, per user. So if you write a different app, it will be a different value for the same user.
It all pertains to this whole notion of sharing via the live ID. If I want to pick a user via the contact picker, I can select a user and say now I can share stuff. But if I can't get a live ID from that.
Today, the contact picker is not exposed through this mechanism. Like I said, you can get users' contact information. However, there's limited information you can get as a third-party app through our web API. And they have different, the contact picker gives you different ID. It's different from the ID you get through this token. So I have mentioned earlier, we have client SDKs on many different platforms, including Windows Phone, as well as other mobile platforms. So yes, you can implement this on Windows Phone as well.
Is a Windows Phone app a different app to a Windows 8 app in terms of the live ID?
You need to make sure you use the same app if you want to share the same information between your apps. So, you register one app and you use the same app ID on both of your applications. In this sense, I register a Yummy app and I used it on my Windows 8 app device. on my Windows 8 in my Windows 8 app, and I use the same application ID on my website. That's how I tie them together. You have one single app for both. If you have an app on Windows Phone or on other platforms, you will use the same application ID, and then they can share information. Any other questions? We'll take two more, and we'll be.
This is quick. Several times you've mentioned other mobile platforms. Which other mobile platforms?
We do have Live SDK support for iOS and Android today. So these are the source code posted on our GitHub site as open source libraries. Last one.
The gentleman out there asked whether on Windows Phone there was a sort of the current user as there was on Windows 8. So when you launch your app, does it know the current live ID of the device?
The question is, on Windows Phone, does it have the same seamless experience that it picks up the user on the OS? And the answer is unfortunately no. This mechanism exists today only on Windows 8. On Windows Phone, the user will have to type in their username and password. But if you implement the way that we documented it on Windows Phone, or if you're using our Windows Phone SDK, it will be a one-time process. When the user launches the app, they need to type in their username and password, but afterwards, you can store a refresh token that can refresh users' access token, and without the user having to type in their username and password again. Okay, so we are right on time, and if you have more questions, we'll be out in the lounge, and you can come up and talk to us. Thank you.